Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
You ask me why, I say why not. Anything is possible, and anything can be.
I don't know on this. I have like five different options swirling in my head.
I can tell you if you want. Or you can.
Can we have initials, please, Blousy?
Yes.
Is it Bell Biv? I'm going to guess Bell Biv DeVoe.
That is correct on the artist.
Ooh, that was...
Yeah.
Ooh. Ah.
Look, is this a newer jam?
Is he what now?
Newer jam? Is that something in your eyes? That was cool.
That is. I don't have a date currently. I can get you on here.
What year was this? I don't think this was on their self-titled debut. Was it a self-titled debut, or was the first album called Poison?
Yeah, it was one of those two.
Yeah.
Might have been the first album. I believe it was called Poison.
May 1990, man. Let me tell you something. I was playing a Mike Bush's Hoops Plus, and all we were doing is playing Poison on the loop. Got knocked out in the first round.
Yeah, but you scored 20 points, I remember.
We came in from South City, St. Gabriel's. We had a lot of success at St. Gabriel's.
Yeah. Wonder why.
And then we went down to the city and played Mike Bush's Hoops Plus, figuring we'd dominate.
Yeah. How'd you do?
Quick Missouri Norfolk State situation.
Real quick, one and out. Yeah.
We got to do something for the 5th anniversary of that. It's coming up.
All right, we'll have a jubilee, Tim.
Nice. Yeah. Salt and Smoke's the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After and the sponsor of the Plowhawk Smoke Breaks. And your smoke breaks are so quick, I noticed, Plowjet.
Knowing I'm on a time constraint and also the weather, it's not great outside.
Not great smoking weather,
I managed to get it to 4.5 puffs.
What's good smoking weather?
75, sunny and breezy. If you're talking evening time, you're talking maybe fall.
Time
60.
Here.
I would think the colder it is, the better, because you're inhaling smoke and maybe it warms you up a little bit.
No, but you're prone to sickness because you're inhaling all that... That cold air getting into your lungs along with
the tar and nicotine's got something to do with the sickness.
No,
also.
That actually has been proven false. It's not that bad.
For cigarettes
you.
Aren't bad for you.
No, I just read an article on The Onion.
That's a good source.
But no, yeah, 75 and breezy is the perfect smoke weather.
I see Deke Dotem is tweeting at Jason Barrett, so that's not great.
What's he saying?
At Sports Radio PD, is that Jason Barrett's Twitter handle? When your executive panel, quote, is in the war room ranking these shows, how much weight is put on shows you consult for? Thanks. Hashtag tinkle.
Yeah, that's a nice list. Lists are fun to make.
They are, aren't they? Yeah. That's why Iggy's Top 30 Starlets was a wonderful list last week. Hey, look, everybody, on the appliances counter phone lines, from analysts for the MLB Network Radio and MLB.com, former general manager of the Mets and the Orioles, 20 total years as a baseball executive. We welcome to the Ryan Kelly Morning After here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, Jim Duquette. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are very fine. Thanks for taking time out of your morning to join us.
Sure.
When you saw the penalties from baseball for the Cardinals, did you think too harsh, too soft, just right?
Well, you know what? My first reaction was I thought it was really, really harsh. Really harsh on the Cardinals, really harsh on Correa, the executive. I understand. From the side of Major League Baseball, you want to be preventative. You don't want this to happen again. You want to set an example out there. But I was really surprised that he. I mean, I'll tell you, teams value that pick, the second round pick, at about $3 to $4 million. The next pick after that would probably be, anywhere between $2.5 to $3 million, somewhere in that range. So you take all those things combined, that's a pretty severe penalty for a guy that was a rogue employee. Having said all that, there is some culpability there, I believe, with the Cardinals and the fact that, he was their employee, even though it seemed like he was, and by all evidence, he was working on his own. So I was a little surprised that the Cardinals, took that big of a hit. But there's no question, Commissioner Manfred was sending a message out there that he's not going to allow this to happen. So, you know, I do understand it from the commissioner's side of things.
Yeah, I do too. But if you're a Cardinal fan looking at the situation now, my guess is that it's not that big a deal as to how it's actually going to shake out. Yeah, you could miss out on a couple of good players, but many times draft picks don't hit anyway, and the Cardinals are a team that's blessed to be flush with cash right now. They'll be able to get through this, right?
Well, that, you know, I think that's the thing. Like, from the cash standpoint, that's, you know, it's a lot of money, but it should be negligible in that area. I think that the key, you mentioned it, those spots in the draft are really crapshoots to some degree. I was talking to a GM yesterday, current GM yesterday, you know, to ask his opinion on the value of those slots. He says, you know, the success rate in those areas are not very high. You know, so I think that's kind of the, you know, if there's a silver lining here. The Cardinals didn't really have a first-round pick this year anyway. And so to lose those picks, well, all right, you give up a big portion of this draft. You know, I think that, you know, it's, like you said, hit or miss in that area anyway. So I think it's something that they can recover from, and it shouldn't take that long.
I always wonder just how much information could you get from another team that you don't already have yourself. I mean, the Astros are a team in the American League, even. Right. I assume when it comes down to it, you trust your own scouts over the Astros scouts. The whole thing just doesn't really make much sense, does it?
Well, I'll tell you where it's helpful. I think there's a couple things. First, if you know the discussions that they're having, you know, on the major league trade front, that there is an advantage of having that extra information. If you're the Cardinals GM, now I don't think John Mozeliak had that info, but if he was being fed, you know, from a scouting director, hey, I'm hearing that the Astros are talking to these teams, that does give you a little bit of advantage. But what I thought where it was more helpful is if you go back to the drafts, 2013 and 2014 in particular. 2014, the Cardinals were picking. Right, the Astros had the number one pick both years. If you look at it, the Cardinals picked at the very bottom of that draft in 2014, two slots in front of Houston, two spots in front of Houston. You know, when Houston was going to pick in the second round, if you had the draft list, you could in essence know who they were going to be picking or thinking of picking in that next round and take them yourself. Which is really invaluable when you're talking about the draft. It's one of those kind of hidden things that, having been in a draft room for as many years, 15 years that I was in, if you knew somebody else's who they might draft next, that's a huge advantage. And I don't know if we don't know if he used it, but if he did, that's where it would have been really helpful.
You know, the proprietary software the teams have, the algorithms that they use right now. You've been a baseball executive for. Yeah. You were for 20 years. When you first started in this, could you imagine, do you think, what it has become in terms of analyzing talent in modern baseball?
No, I couldn't. I remember when I was first starting. I was starting the statistical department for the Mets, and we were coming up with some of the things. We were trying to come up with a formula to help predict performance, right, based off of all these factors. And the guy that I had hired, who's since gone on, written a couple books, you know, in the statistical community, his name is Ben Ballmer. He's also a professor at Smith College. He's like, you know, we're getting really close to coming up with this predictive formula, you know, for, and you know, that was the basis of our statistical department in the Mets. So I knew where we were headed. I wouldn't have predicted it was going to go this far. Some of the things that we have out there now are just unbelievable. The information that you can get, the spin rates, you know, all those things that you can now measure more, almost putting the scout, I don't want to say he's completely obsolete, but taking a lot of the subjectivity out of it.
Yeah, I think the knock against advanced metrics is that it takes the human element out of it. As an old school guy, how do you look at it? Do you think that too much of that human element has been removed if you're trying to predict whether a guy will make it or not?
There's a lot of it. You know, I think that is one of those where it does concern me a little bit. But, the more teams I'm talking to, when you catch wind sometimes of these teams that, in 3 or 4 years, I heard one team say they're hopefully going to eliminate all of their pro scouts and just scout off of video. And so I asked the general manager that, and he said, no way. There's no chance that we're planning on doing that. And the reason why they say this, some of these metrics statistically, you know, they don't match up with your eye. You know, it's like catching, as an example, framing metrics with catchers. those are, there's a lot of factors in there, not just pinpointing, you know, where a guy caught a ball and where did he caught, was it caught a ball or strike? You know, what kind of staff does he have? Are this, you know, are they 95-mile-an-hour fastball guys? Are they a staff that has good command? Like, all of that goes into factoring into whether a guy frames, you know, well as a catcher. And some of those things you can only see with the human eye. So they're still kind of marrying the two. But what they've done a good job of is taking out some of that subjectivity, which I'm a fan of and a proponent of. And some of these new scouts, I think, you know, in the end, they end up supporting it.
Have all the metrics led to drafts where teams are having better luck hitting on players than they did 30 years ago?
You know, that's a good question. I was just asked this yesterday when we were having this conversation. You know, the success rate in the first round is still a little over 50%. It was below that, you know, 20, 30 years ago. It was probably, I would say, closer to 40, from what I remember, 40, 41% of the first-rounders got to the major leagues. So it's improved a little bit. And part of that, by the way, is we're seeing these amateur players all year, where we only saw them during certain times of the year back then. So now you get a chance. Basically, the draft's over. You start your draft for the next year, and you start looking at these players. But I think some of the metrics have certainly helped along the way, too. But it hasn't helped enough. Like, you would think first-round picks, boy, you'd have a greater success rate. Right? So, you know, being a 75, 80% success rate, wouldn't you think? I would think that. Yeah. And that's just not the case.
Yeah, and you see a guy like Mike Trout, wasn't he the 17th pick? I mean, this is a guy who might be the best player of all time, and 16 picks ahead of him, they found somebody they like better.
You know, a lot of times it shouldn't be this way, but you are impacted by guys who came out of New Jersey before him that were busts. So a couple years before that, I had a kid that we drafted named Billy Rowell out of New Jersey. Had a huge pedigree, was a guy, left-handed power bat, could hit, never got out of Double A. And so Mike Trout followed him, and people had reservations because they said, well, you know, the Rowell kid, you know what, he had the same type of pedigree, and he didn't make it, so I'm going to pass on this guy, you know. And it turned out to be the wrong deal. But those are the human elements that go into the draft that I always find is fascinating.
Maybe that's where you don't want the human element. Maybe that's when the human element hurts you, doesn't it?
You'd rather not, right? I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, if you knew this kid, which the Angels did, they knew him better because the area scout was friends with Mike Trout's dad. They played ball together. I think they went to college together. So he knew the kid. He knew the family, and he had an inside track on the makeup. So that's the other side of it. That's the human element that you're like, oh, you can't measure that. There's no computer out there that knows the background of Mike Trout's family. You could only get that through good scouting.
Looking at the Cardinals on the field, aside from the hacking stuff, they added Fowler, they added Cecil. Obviously, they lose some parts with Matt Holliday going to the Yankees. How do you think the Cardinals will do this season?
Oh, I'm real optimistic still with them. I think they're there's two teams that did not make the postseason last year that I'm predicting are going to be back in the postseason. Cardinals are one of them. The Mariners are the other. And I think because here's the thing with the Cardinals. We know, for the most part, they're better offensively, I feel, with Fowler overall. They're going to be better defensively in the outfield with Grichik on the corner now on Fowler center. And I think that their pitching is going to be better because you're going to have, I think, you'll have Reyes, you know, part of that staff for most, if not all, of the season. With Lynn coming back, and I think Wainwright, you know, with that, you know, foot being better, you know, I think he's going to be better. Like, everybody's going to slot in their spots. I'm really bullish on the Cardinals this year.
Are they playing for a wild card spot, or do they have much of a chance to hang with the Cubs?
Well, I mean, that, you know, it's hard when you look at how far the Cubs were ahead of everybody else. It's hard to sit there and say, okay, how did, you know, has any team made that up? I think in the end they're going to end up playing for a wild card, but. You know, there's also a scenario, smaller percentage chance, so they can see the Cubs having a little bit of a down year. We see that on occasion. You know, you go deep in the postseason, the pitching is worn down. You don't have enough, you know, in the tank the next year. You get off to kind of that little hangover effect. So, you know, if they get off to a slow start, if the Cubs get off to a slow start, I think that's where it becomes a little more interesting. I think it's going to be tighter than we saw last year.
Jim Duquette of MLB Network Radio and MLB.com, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Jim, thanks for the time this morning.
You got it, guys. We'll talk to you later.
See you.
Thanks, Jim. Here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Ken Rosenthal writing this. My first reaction, the Cardinals got off easy. Their top two picks from this year's draft, numbers 56 and 75, are going to the Astros, along with the accompanying pool money. They also must pay the Astros $2 million within 30 days of Monday's decision. I wish Commissioner Rob Manfred had gone farther, forcing the Cardinals to also sacrifice their next first-round pick and or international bonus pool money. The actions of Chris Correa were that bad, Rosenthal writes. Manfred was not in an easy position. Baseball had no precedent for penalizing corporate espionage. And while Correa admitted in court that he told Cardinals, quote, colleagues about the information that he discovered, the federal government did not charge any other Cardinals employee with a crime.
I think that's a compelling thing. If they had been able to link it to people above Correa, I think the penalty would have been harsher. But as it stands now, it was one guy, apparently, acting on his own. It's a pretty harsh penalty.
Yeah. There's no telling what he might have done had they been able to link it clear to the top of the organization. Then I think they would have really been drilled.
Yeah.
The column continues. The Cardinals already had sacrificed their first-round pick for signing free agent outfielder Dexter Fowler. In the opinion of one rival executive, they were more aggressive targeting players with qualifying offers this season, figuring they would lose at least their first-rounder due to the scandal. Quote, it does essentially make the cost less to them, the executive said.
And that may be true, but I also think if you watch what happened at the winter meetings, you know, the cost of acquiring a guy like Eaton, you had to empty the shelves of all your prospects. So I think that's why they went that route, too. I think there are probably a couple of reasons.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made any sense to get Adam Eaton based on what the White Sox got for him.
And then that set the market. And so if you wanted talent now, you were going to have to give up prospects. So I think it's a lot easier for the Cardinals to just go ahead and pay. Get the guy that they say they wanted all along in Dexter Fowler.
Right. You think this really stains their reputation nationally? Are they going to become the New England Patriots
baseball? No, because I don't think it's gotten, nor will it get, near the attention for baseball people. I think in some capacity, yes. For the casual fan, whereas the Patriots are... I think that story got national attention in part because of the fact that the Patriots have become, you know, a national brand with their run of success. I don't feel like the Cardinals have gotten that. I don't know why that is. The Cardinals, don't get me wrong, the Cardinals are a storied franchise, but I don't think the Cardinals have the Tom Brady-like personality that gets the organization Patriots-like attention. So in other words, if the Cardinals were the Yankees or if the Cardinals were the Cubs, I think it would have gotten more attention.
I think it's because it's Correa and not a Tom Brady. You know, I mean, no one knows who Chris Correa is. Everyone knew who Tom Brady was with Deflategate. I think that was...
Oh, I'm talking about Spygate, actually. But yeah, when you compound Spygate...
Deflategate. Yeah, and the Patriots also had the cameras shooting the Jets guy, giving the signals. The Patriots cheating is on-the-field stuff. And the Cardinals is backroom computer stuff. The Patriots literally trying to cheat you on the field.
And it seems like the Patriots, it's sort of institutionalized where if the facts are as we know them now, it was one guy within the Cardinal organization. That is a different story.
Yeah. You'd hate to see one guy who wasn't even the top guy drag down the reputation of an entire organization.
But they'll take a hit, and there's a lot of folks that enjoy when the Cardinals run into trouble, so they'll have a field day with this. But not everybody.
No. I think they'll be fine. I don't think it'll affect them much. They'll make up the $2 million in, one good month at Ballpark Village?
One good night, maybe
a couple weeks. Yeah.
John Mozeliak talked about it yesterday, and here is what he said. Soundbite number three, Plowhawk, how he would define his opinion, the penalties.
Well, I mean, obviously there's a financial component, but then there's an investment component in players. And when you think about the success of this organization, we've been candidly defined by how well we've drafted. And so losing the opportunity to draft someone in the second round or the competitive imbalance pick, it hurts. But, you know, rather than focus on solely the penalty right now, I think we have to, as an organization, just understand that we have to deal with it, accept it, and then move to the future.
John Mozeliak yesterday at Busch Stadium. And then he wanted to clarify something that was said in Correa's court testimony, and he did that yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I think if you go back and actually read what he said there, the actual question was, do you think anybody took information from the Cardinals? And he said, yes. And the judge then asked, well, who did you tell? And he said, colleagues. So again, this isn't in reference to hacking as it is in reference to, was he suspicious of anybody taking any information? Now, we're not here to litigate this at the moment, but I do think when you look at those sentences and look at how it was said, I think a lot of people are misinterpreting what was actually said.
So Correa was saying he thinks people were trying to take from the Cardinals as well.
Right. Well, I think that's how the whole thing started.
Right. Because of the guys that went to Houston were guys involved with the Cardinals software. And I think the premise was he was checking to see if they were using stuff and some of the Cardinals information, mm-hmm. which would be theft.
Yeah. Well, it'd sure be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Well, I guess it did just all shake out.
What do you think Fowler's going to hit this year? Give me his average and his on-base percentage.
275 average on base, about 390.
390? I'll take that. Tim, sold.
So you're in.
You know what Ted Williams' career on-base percentage was?
Six.
It was not six. Three.
If I'm, I'll have to check if I think I'm right. 482.
Whew.
Got on base almost half the time he came to the plate.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's obscene.
Doug, you better talk bracketology. I'm flipping over to BJ and the Tadpole, the number three mid-market show out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. This has been a fun college basketball season.
It hasn't been. It's been maybe the worst we've ever endured. Maybe the absolute worst ever. At least St. Louis U, their signs are certainly pointing in the right direction. They've done some great recruiting. I don't know who Mizzou's getting that's going to turn things around. And now the football team keeps losing commits.
We got Gary Finkel waiting, and I want to talk some Mizzou.
You see that in the last 3 or 4 days, Mizzou's lost wide receivers to Notre Dame and Ohio State that had given them commits.
Yeah. They must not have seen the new uniforms they'll wear.
Yeah.
Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh?
Yeah.
What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
There's a guy going, no, no.
Ah. Say something about the Cardinals. Cardinals.
Doug, do you know anything about Bertarelli Cutlery? I know they sponsor the Cuts of the Week. I know that.
Well, it's a good time to get over there, and you're saying, well, why? It's always a good time to go. Well, it's especially a good time to go now because they're in the middle of their inventory reduction sale going on till February 17th. And you say, well, what are you reducing? Well, selected items. How much? Well, 20 to 50% off selected items. That's a huge saving. So get in there now to Bertarelli Cutlery and see what they're selling. They have great Valentine's gifts there you can pick up for the top chef that you love. Not just knives. They also feature Vitamix blenders, scan pan nonstick cookware, and John Boo's cutting boards and kitchen islands. You fellas could all use some new cutting boards. And when you think cutting boards, you think Bertarelli Cutlery. And they'll sharpen your blades, as always. You'll get them sharpened in 30 minutes while you sit there and wait. They're on their 50th anniversary this year. You don't make it in this town unless you're doing a fabulous job, and that's what Bertarelli Cutlery is doing. Visit them at 1927 Marconi on the Hill, or you can shop online. I'll give you their website now. It's BertarelliCutlery.com. That's Bertarelli Cutlery and our old friend Marco Bertarelli.
Scan pan, ding, 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 ding.
It's nonstick
ding,
cookware.
Ding, 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 ding.
What do you use? That Pam, you just spray it on there?
I'm not sure you even need that.
Dan Patrick hosted a friend of the show and a St. Louisan yesterday from Super Bowl in Houston, Marcus Allen.
And I didn't know any better. It was my first Super Bowl. So most guys, you know, they take the cab or they jump on a bus. I took my rental car. We had rental cars, right? And so I pulled up to the stadium and I said, excuse me, where do the players park? And the attendant said, well, do you have a parking pass? And I said, no. He said, well, you can't get in. I said, miss, seriously, I'm playing with the Raiders. I'm playing in today's game.
You didn't have your uniform
and
on, did you?
No. And she says, I said, I don't care. If you don't have a parking pass, you can't get in. And I was with my teammate, Otis McKinney. I backed the car up, pulled it against the curb. This is a true story. And I looked at him. He looked at me. He grabbed his bag. I grabbed mine. We took off running to the locker room. And to this day, I don't know what happened to that rental car. It is a true story.
It's funny. There's Marcus Allen, a guy who wore a Raiders jersey, saying true story. Just like Big Al, a guy who wears a Raiders jersey and says true story. Is that the best running back out of O'Fallon, Illinois?
Oh, there's probably been one. There's probably been several Hall of Famers from O'Fallon proper. Jim Brown may have been from O'Fallon.
I thought he was Fairview Heights.
I think Walter Payton.
Joe Cribbs was from there.
Was he really?
Yeah, John David Crow.
June Henley.
Yeah.
Mac Heron.
Mac Heron, I think. Yeah, he might have been Swansea.
Well, I'm glad that the tradition continues, and Marcus Allen comes home like the Raiders apparently will be coming home, Tim.
I'm looking forward to getting to that. There is a development with the Raiders in Las Vegas and the Raiders in Oakland, and maybe that will lead to the Raiders
coming home
to St. Louis. We will be joined, however, momentarily by Jake Kaplan, who co-authored this story the past weekend and indicated the Cardinal hacking scandal would be resolved this week. He is the Astros beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, and he's going to join us on the Appliance Discounters in a matter of moments here on 590 The Fan, KFNS. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Antonio French, alderman and also mayoral candidate. Doug, when mayoral candidates want to get the word out, they come to the show of record.
Right. They've given up on all the other radio outlets, I think, and they want to reach maximum audience and a highly educated audience as well.
And they saw we're 14. They all want to come on now.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
I'm still worried about Marcus Allen's rental car. What's the bill when you just don't do anything with a rental car?
Maybe you got to pay for that whip. Whip.
He would know. So my guess would be they got the gist of it that he played in the Super Bowl and he just left it there and didn't want to make a scene.
Somebody is sending in a picture of Marcus Allen at the Best Buy in Fairview Heights.
That is him.
Oh, you see the text? Yeah, there it is.
That's unbelievable. Remember when
what
we first...
What he has to be thinking? Where did he... I know he went to USC and played in... Did he ever play in Oakland or did he just play in L.A. and Kansas City?
That seems like it's just L.A.
I wonder if he's enjoying it.
The look on his face in this picture says not really.
Like if you've never lived in L.A. or New York...
It's fine.
You don't know. Right. You don't know any better. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I know I don't know any better. I know I've visited there and enjoy them, but I haven't like lived there to then come back here. But maybe he's just like, yeah, I enjoyed that. I now have kids and I want to chill. That might be where he is. I mean, yeah. It's inevitable he's going to be on this show. He's probably going to be a friend of the show. Well, Iggy, I would imagine he's in your role.
I don't think so.
I don't, but Seamonster has his number.
How about that?
I would much rather live here than New York. I can't. New York's too much for me. New York's
what if you live in Hoboken?
Overload. I'm not interested in being shoulder to shoulder and waiting in line. And
they have fine suburbs there, like you could live on Long Island.
White Plains.
Yeah, White Plains?
I'm just not
Long Island?
It's too much for me.
Scarsdale?
Well, Binghamton, yeah, if I had millions of dollars, I could live in Scarsdale. If I had $20 million in the bank, maybe.
Well, you do.
But we're not assuming that that's going to be the case.
Show's going well.
If you had to get in and out of Manhattan every day to work or something, I'm not ready for that hassle.
You're worth $20 million. You don't have to do anything. All right? Move to Scarsdale.
I can't. I don't have the $20 million.
What about Hackensack?
Nope.
And if you ever get back to
I have no interest at all in living in New York. None.
What about L.A.?
L.A., is, that'd be better. Obviously, the weather would be a nice
pick factor. Your city in the United States.
Oh, for heaven.
What was that line from Billy Joel's? And who needs a house in Hackensack? Is that all you... That's another...
Hackensack.
Oh, Plazzi's eating some of his donut. I like this.
I guess San Diego? San Francisco?
Newport Beach, California. There in Orange County is awfully nice.
Mimosa Beach?
Some of those places there in Orange County is about as good as it gets anywhere on the planet, I think.
What about Malibu?
That would be okay.
That was a song by Hole.
Kroenke lives in Malibu, so, you know.
Yeah, the ghost of Malibu.
Wouldn't want him as your neighbor. So that's out.
Doug, I'll leave my wife and we can be roommates in Greenwich Village. Thanks. It's Fred Astaire.
I'm not interested in it, Fred. I'm just not interested in living in New York.
I see where Clint Eastwood put his house up for sale.
Monterey.
Like $9 million only?
Monterey. That, might actually be the play.
Yeah, and you get that statue. He left the statue that was in one of his movies, the angel with the arms out.
Doug, any interest in moving into my man canal?
No, where's that? The Panama Canal? Panama is supposed to be one of those places where some people are going to retire now from the U.S. They go down there. It's really cheap and the weather's great. People speak English.
Big spring break destination.
My buddy, who travels all the time internationally for work, so he's a seasoned traveler. He knows what he's doing. And I forget if he was in, like, Venezuela or some Latin American
country. I don't think I want to go there.
And he went out with a coworker to get something to eat. And this is a guy who's traveled the world all the time. You know, he's got the vest with the zip pockets and everything. He knows what he's doing. And he goes out there, and he fell for a scam, which... He thought was incredible. So he's walking down the street, and the coworker said, "Something smells. I think I got hit." And an old woman was telling him that a bird had pooped on him in Spanish, broken English.
Hot scat play.
And was offering him tissues to wipe it off. And as he reached for this, here came six or seven guys pretending to help wipe it off. And then they start telling the other guy, my buddy, "Oh, you have it on you too." And all of a sudden, all these guys pretending, and he knew something was going on, but it was too late. And they somehow got the wallet in the zip. They got everything from this guy.
Yep.
It happened in 45 seconds, because obviously that's their thing. They're all trained on how to do that. And then they were gone into a subway or something.
My in-laws took a vacation to South America. They'd been all over the world.
Where'd they go in South America?
Somewhere in Brazil.
Oh, Rio?
That might have been where they went.
Maybe a lot of hot tranny play there, bro.
That's not why they went. State of Defense.
But it was nice that it was there, Tim.
Yes, yeah, it's an option.
It's a fallback.
That's not why they were there.
It's a fallback if Macaroni Grill has a long line.
Checked into this fancy hotel, and the guy says, "All right, now you're going to want to give us your watch, and don't take your wallet when you go out, and don't take anything else when you go out. Don't dress very well." And so everywhere they went, that was the problem.
That's Mayor Slay's warnings when you park
them
down.
I said, never again will they go to South America. Of all the places they've been to, never again. Not worth it.
Even Mexico, you read more and more that, because that used to be like, if you're at a nice resort, they have security and there's still issues there every once in a while.
Guys, my old boss had a place in Panama. He had a bum foot due to diabetes. He had a sweet tooth. Well, we all have stories.
Huh, that was a nice little story, though. Jamie, I like that one.
It's pretty good.
He had a sweet tooth, did he?
Doug, where will you and Victor retire to? Panama, Aruba, Costa Rica? Let me know. I'll be your live hung pool boy. It's from Butch Patrick's Werewolf Doll.
You see what David Klein of Hedonism texted in?
He's very active, and I think that's a violation of his non-compete.
He's still at KMOX, is he? And he's sending vileness in?
He just said,
he can get
Doug,
vile. He can get vile.
Treat me like Cat's friend and poop on me.
See what I mean? David Klein has been suspended. David
I don't
Klein,
think you can suspend people from KMOX.
I just did. David Klein of KMOX and Hedonism has been suspended
a period
of 2 days'
time.
All right, I'm accepting offers.
You want to know by now.
What would be the motivation of a fellow like Kleinsy to write in?
Maybe he's in a hot scat play, bro. A lot of guys are, I guess.
Maybe he misses us.
When you call someone bro... That means you're just keeping it real, right? That's when you're really
on
the real
I keep it real, dirty. Know how I do? Purple and gold with the Lakers, the Broncos, the orange and blue. Yep.
Sounds like you're keeping it real,
bro.
Doug, a lot of people say, "Hey, man, you're 40,
bro.
You're 40." And I said, yeah, I mean, why are you so surprised? I was born in 76. That's the math. And they go, yeah, but your skin's so smooth. And I go, I know.
But people come up to you on the street and say, boy, your skin sure is smooth.
More or less at TMA Lives. More or less. And the answer is to why Harry's Razors. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. And by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right, just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer for fans of the show, go to harrys.com right now and enter code INSIDESTL at checkout to get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, promo code INSIDESTL. Email in for the Hot Shots email of the day, Sea Monster with a fascinating observation, Doug. Heads-up match on January 31st for the Email of the Month competition. Neither Madhu Bowles at Hanks or Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech have emailed in yet.
Well, they're taking the extra time to craft their important emails.
They're polishing up the emails.
They're having their people look over the emails to make sure they're worthy.
They don't want to write something in now and think of something better an hour from now.
Especially with all the topics we hit.
Remember, them is your people.
Yeah.
Like right now, people could start emailing about going to a South American country and having someone rob them, which might be
That'd be timely, topical. Tim, there's a perfect place for you to vacation. It's called The Bubble.
Where's that?
I saw it advertised on Saturday Night Live. I don't know what that means.
I don't know where that would be.
Swing and a miss. Guys, David Klein equals huge Stephanie Tanner fan. Hashtag full blouse. Carlos Danger.
He just texted me and said he does miss us. So
David Klein of Hedonism.
We miss him.
It's great
we
American.
Miss him, but not so much as foul mouth. You hear what he just wrote in?
We miss that, too. Don't get sideways with him. He could buy and sell you.
Tim, I'm 30, and I was born in 1986. Isn't that cool? Teehee.
Yeah. Almost exactly 10 years after you were born. That is really ironic.
This is
What was that?
I believe that was Klein singing.
Yeah, I'll call
Zombie.
David Klein drunk, but it just doesn't sound like it would be very good. So.
I know, he's just performing Dolores O'Riordan's version of Zombie, the Cranberries lead singer. Yeah. Dolores O'Riordan.
That was down at some Soulard drunk fest, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mardi Gras, where producer Joe attacked me.
He attacked you?
Yes, he did.
Ready to scrap?
Yes, he did. He got into a dark place.
Did he throw any punches?
He was about to. He was about to.
And what stopped him?
I'm not sure now that you mention it, but I can picture it.
Do you get into your praying mantis position or something? Or crane? Or
crane! Crane is where I go.
Yeah.
You ought to know.
This has nothing to do with the topic, but...
Whoa. Then don't do it. Not on this show.
I got a text yesterday from my brother Skip, who he works out at, not a sponsor, but he works out at Sugar Fire.
Oh, Skip Strode.
And he sent me a text yesterday with a picture of him and Tony Lee. And I said, how did you know she knew me? He says, we were just talking, and she said, you can hear more of me if you listen to 590 The Fan. I'm on there all the time.
So hold on a second. I got to understand this story because this is important to me.
Your brother Skip. Where was he again?
So he's at Sugar Fire. Did she work there or did she come in?
I think she just came in.
She came in for some barbecue.
Yeah.
As most lovely women in their mid-20s do for lunch. Yeah. And then said, hey, if you want to hear more of me. I mean, there had to be a point A to B.
Yeah, I don't know how it got into that conversation when he showed me the picture. And I just said, because he sent me the picture knowing he now knew that I knew Tony Lee. And I think he put Tony Lee on the message too. And I said, how did Tony, you know that Tony Lee knew me? And all he said was because she said, if you want to know more about me or hear me, I'm on 590 The Fan all the time. And then he said, well, my brother works at 590 The Fan. And then he mentioned Iggy, and then she talked about, but how it got to You can hear more of me on 590 The Fan. I have no clue, but that was her.
Well, she hasn't been on the station in a few months. Unless she's on another program.
Well, she cut ties with Timberfake, didn't she? So she's not around now for the big boxing match.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be there, probably.
You think so?
I think so. Maybe rooting against him.
Yeah. Kind of like when the lovely Miss Elizabeth switched loyalties from the Macho Man, and he was just a mess. He was
that was an act.
Sea.
That was all an act.
Whoa.
I remember when producer Joe fought Evan McCoskey, he had a girlfriend there standing at the side of the ring just screaming at Evan McCoskey. Just screaming at Joe to kick his butt.
Kind of like the guy screaming at Tim from that one corner in the last fight where Timmy just said, didn't you tell him to shut up, douche, or something like that?
I don't know what I said. I don't think I would say douche, but I don't know what he was screaming at me. I think it's captured on the video. Maybe I'll have to go back and relive that. Yeah. Let's see. Did Iggy's brother take her to the Ameristar after lunch? I don't know what that means. It's from St. Peter's Lemming.
A little far away from Winghaven, so probably not. And he's married, by the way.
Too. Isn't that where she and Timberfake had their thing?
Well, if you're banging your brother, you're up for pretty much anything.
Doug, do you miss when Prod Joe drunk tweets? Thanks, I'll hang up and listen.
Yes, absolutely. We all miss Prod Joe.
Not all of us.
Oh.
Doug, did you ask what stopped Prod Joe from hitting Joe? He probably remembered he got beat up by effing Timberfake, so attacking someone else would be a bad idea. Justin in Columbia.
Mm. Mm. I'm watertight. I'm watertight.
I miss that guy.
Well, he got hit in the head once, though. Policeman hit him with a nightstick.
How can I prevent my anus from bleeding?
Hot Shots has their weekly blues nights, and Doug, also the ultimate blues fan giveaway at Hot Shots. Blues fans, ready for a big one. Swing by Hot Shots all season and use your MVP card for your chance to win the 2017 Hot Shots Ultimate Blues Fan Giveaway. Hot Shots MVPs can win great items all season long, including the grand prize, a suite for you and seven friends at an upcoming blues game. Also, MVPs can scratch to win other great stuff, including blues 50th anniversary prizes, signed blues gear, Hot Shots gift cards, free Hot Shots food, and more. All you have to do to receive an entry in the Hot Shots Ultimate Blues Fan Giveaway is swipe your Hot Shots MVP card on any visit. Customers who use their Hot Shots MVP card will receive one scratch-off entry every time their MVP card is swiped. The more times you use your MVP card, the more chances you have to win. It's Hot Shots, great sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and our email of the day. We're in this awkward spot here. Seamaster, I need to have a communication with you because I'm ready to move on, but if the guest calls in, I feel like then I got to go back into something that I... No, he said, let's move on. God bless. Seamaster and I on the same page. Good. Now I can get into some other topics. I've kind of been biding times. I'm like, this guy's going to call in, and we're going to get back into this story that I don't really care about, but I got to do. So now I can move on. The Raiders, Doug, the move is in doubt now per ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
As Goldman Sachs Moles involvement following investors' exit. That's Sheldon Adelson. Wonderful man. The Oakland Raiders' bid to relocate to Las Vegas has hit another financial roadblock that could, watch this, that could put the team's planned move to the desert in jeopardy, a source told ESPN's Ramona Shelburne. With billionaire casino mogul Sheldon Adelson angrily withdrawing from the Raiders' stadium deal on Monday, investment bank Goldman Sachs is also reevaluating its relationship with the planned deal, a source close to the negotiations told Shelburne. Adelson had previously committed $650 million so a third of the $1.9 billion for the project, but announced the removal of his stake in a statement on Monday. Adelson declared that he had been shut out of talks that led to the lease document presented to the Clark County Stadium Authority. And he said, we were not only excluded from the proposed agreement, we weren't even aware of its existence. And Adelson has a longstanding business relationship with Goldman Sachs. Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval's office said in a lease agreement proposal submitted last week expressed that the Raiders had intended to pick up a tab for Adelson's polled $650 million, which would up their total commitment to $1.15 billion for a deal in which they would also accept operation responsibilities and risk. This is an odd and bad deal for the Raiders now.
Mm-hmm.
A source told ESPN's Darren Revelle that the Raiders' relocation application to the NFL filed on January 19th also did not include Adelson. On January 12th, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, which I believe Adelson owns, reported that the Raiders had told the NFL that it had assurance from Goldman Sachs that the financial firm would continue to back the team's relocation effort, even if Adelson was out of the picture. Goldman Sachs has been in line to help underwrite Raiders owner Mark Davis's financial commitment, but with financial giant now reevaluating his position, its position, the entire deal could be in danger, a source told Ramona Shelburne. So, Doug, Raiders come home.
It's time.
Time to come home to St. Louis now.
I was just at the Galleria, and I counted 4 Otis Sistrunk jerseys just walking.
Biletnikoff, you know, Ted Hendricks, the Mad Stork. A lot of kids in town go to Halloween as a Mad Stork.
Raiders are saving their money, so when they move here, they can make a big splash on the banks of the muddy Mississippi.
Nice.
River Raiders, come home. It's time.
Why would you leave out a guy who's pledged to give you $650 million?
Yeah, I wonder what that was about.
Just being stupid? Just saying,
I
mean, all right,
I can't imagine. No. For as odd as that operation is, I still can't imagine they would do. I mean, that's, I don't know.
Thanks for
but
the
I don't
money.
Have the explanation.
Thanks for the money. Now go away. Well, they'll be in a pickle if they don't, if they botch that deal, because I'm not sure there's much to go back to Oakland at this point.
That's why we have the dome. We have the wherewithal to get a new place.
Mm-hmm.
Forget this MLS stuff for now.
Wouldn't even have to build a new stadium, would they?
Well, eventually.
Just play in the dome.
Eventually. They
for
will.
Now.
Yeah, for now.
Maybe Sheldon Adelson will
we've been saying
pony up
years,
the money here.
There's no better locale for an NFL team than the dome. We've been saying that for years.
Right.
It's one of the best facilities
Fabulous.
In the National Football
yeah.
League.
Yeah, you say that.
It's light and airy. Great personality of the building.
Come home.
I went to San Francisco Chronicle's website to get more information on this, but then you might be surprised to hear, got distracted by something else, which again is not really a trademark of the program.
Well, the weekend was seen canoodling again
with Selena Gomez.
No, there's a new trend in beauty for millennials, Botox, and this is the thing that I see. I notice it.
This is what distracted.
You're shaking your head, Plowhawk. But I don't know if the women that you are hanging around, this is more of a Clayton Frontenac type of thing.
Well, that's kind of why I shook my head, because in Kirkwood, which is a very nice area, and at Billy G's, you see a lot.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Me and the employees
but Botox
were pointing
at 40 or 50 or later, that's one thing, but to have them as a millennial.
I'm talking about
20s. It's the oddest deal. I'm talking about women in their 20s and early 30s.
Yeah, 25
thing.
And 30. We
Where
see
are
all,
they getting it?
I don't
Their face?
Yeah
face mainly.
Well, what do you need when you're 20? You don't have the wrinkles.
I for the life of me, I don't understand it. I truly don't understand. I there's some of these girls who I know that are in their late 20s and early, still would be absolutely beautiful, and they've just like destroyed themselves. And I don't get it.
With the big fish lips?
Yeah, that's one of the things.
Oh, that's the
and
worst.
They're getting and bad information because no guy likes that.
It's the strangest thing. I don't get it. I mean, I guess if it doesn't have long-term negative effects. And when it gets down to it, it's their body. If it makes them feel more attractive, God bless. As I've said a million times, I was looking to get hair transplants, whatever it was, 10 years ago. Now, I was doing that if I was going to continue my television career. But, you know, whatever. Hey, man, everybody has the right to do it. I'm surprised by it just because I feel like stuff's usually done for the purpose of making one more attractive. And I'm surprised where, as the Plowhawk said, they're under the impression that makes them look more attractive.
Isn't the Botox
clearly like a bad late 80s, early 90s LA plastic
they
surgery
look
hanging
all
out
the time.
At Brio, you know, fresh off the divorce and separation period and looking to maybe fill a void, Doug?
What is Botox like a isn't that like a isn't it some sort of bacteria that they inject into your face? What is Botox?
I don't think it's bacteria. No. I think it's a material to either get rid of wrinkles or to make something a little more plump, like the lips.
Did you have it?
No, I've not had it, no.
Thinking about it, bro?
You might be surprised.
No, you look good is what I'm saying.
Doug, according to the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, Botox treatments for those between 19 and 34 years old increased by 41% between 2011 and 2015. That translated to more than 500,000 Botox procedures for millennials in 2015. The injection's most common cosmetic use is wrinkle reduction. So why are people in their 20s and 30s increasingly seeking the procedure? Quote, Botox is being marketed in a preventative sense rather than a treatment sense. That's from Dick Tolan.
And this is why
his brother Bobby Tolan played for the Cardinals. That 67 squad. Bobby Tolan was on outfielder.
And the Botox situation is why the Raiders chief investor pulled out.
Nope. I went there to find out about it, and then I saw this story, and it was the bright, shiny object that it captivated me. It seems more young women are hoping Botox injections in their 20s might keep them wrinkle-free for decades to come. Dick Tolan said his business has even seen a few 18-year-old patients.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Why don't you wait for the wrinkle and then have it done?
Botox is a drug made from a neurotoxin.
Well, that explains it.
So it is some sort of...
Now, when you're 18 to 25, wouldn't you be blaming the parents on this one? I doubt it's out of their own income or credit card. I imagine the parents are paying for that.
It's not insanely expensive. I think it's...
Well, I think you have to continue. It's similar to hair transplant where you have to continue to get it done.
Yeah, that's the thing with the hair transplant. I was listening to Joe Buck on Howard Stern. I still haven't listened to the whole thing yet. But he was talking about it. He goes, that's the kind of the bait and switch of the hair transplant deal, is you get it, and I'm sure many people go into it thinking, okay, now I'm taken care of, but as you continue to lose your hair, then you got to fill in the spots that now you're thinning. So it's just, it's constant, so that would be the same deal with Botox. Others say social media and the selfie phenomenon are behind the uptick in Botox injections. Mark Hagberg, do you know him?
Hagsy, yeah.
He's the owner of Skin Rejuvenation Clinic near Minneapolis, told the Star Tribune that he sees many young customers who are after a flawless, photoshopped look.
Mm. Well, you can photoshop yourself to look more flawless.
It costs about $382 per session.
Yeah, it's not so expensive that people aren't going to do it if they're really worried about it. Unlike the hair transplant, where it's out of reach for most people because of the expense. Yeah. Botox, you can walk right into some spa and have it done and walk right out.
Doug, everybody Botox. Watch that Grace and Frankie, all the young actresses in that habit. Plowhawk, that's your show, the show about 70-year-old gay men.
And I honestly cannot wait for the next season to come out. I think it's a great show. I cannot stress it enough. And I know I understand Martin Sheen, gay, things like that. There's a lot of...
Martin Sheen's gay?
Yeah, he is.
In the program.
In the program, not in real life.
Of course, fathered the wonderful Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen.
It's just a great comedy for the whole family to enjoy. You know, a little...
Oh, it's a comedy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic.
No, I didn't know that. I thought it was a drama.
And I think one of the sons is gay as well. So you got two gay couples. It's just great. You would love it.
Doug, want to come over and watch Grace and Frank?
No, I'm busy.
And my buddy Ernie Hudson's in that.
Now, his brother Don Hudson was a great receiver for the Packers way
I
back
remember
when.
Him.
Yeah, one of the greatest.
And his father started the Hudson River.
And he had a cousin, Lou Hudson, sweet Lou Hudson. Played for the St. Louis Hawks briefly, and then mostly with the Atlanta Hawks.
Hudson Brothers had a great sitcom.
They were related.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Married to Goldie Hawn at one
Doug,
time.
Doug, Botox ruined August Ames. That's from Fred Astaire.
You know who it ruined? Two who I think were stunningly beautiful and didn't need it is Jenna Jameson got it, and she just looks awful. And Courtney Stodden, who was like 20 when she got it. Now she just looks the big fish lips and eh. Why do it?
Yeah, you would think you could have that sucked back out of there.
You were pretty to begin with.
Can you have it sucked back out, bro?
You would think. Yeah, they
then you got wrinkly lips. They were just beautiful girls and just, yeah, why do it?
Doug, maybe that's your next profession. You could go around and de-Botox people. Just
not
suck
a bad idea.
Stuff
just get yourself a good vacuum cleaner.
Guys, it all makes sense now. Marcus Allen has been here to scout the area for the Raiders. Raiders, come home. It's from Hey Man, He Man.
Makes a lot of sense.
Boy.
Guys, Botox really effed up Meg Ryan, too. It's from Barry Bugman.
That's another good one, but she was older, but she was still, I thought, cute for an older lady.
It's difficult for women whose identity as a young woman was, look how beautiful you are. It's very difficult for them to age gracefully and to deal with it, because that's kind of who they've always been. And then when they hit a certain age where they're not the beautiful person they once were, they wind up seeking a lot of ways to try to maintain
it. Well, I blame society. If they can't see the inner beauty, then society is wrong.
Hmm. Your bell's not working.
Yeah, your bell's not right there.
Deep intellectual things are just my jam.
See? Just a wonderful, wonderful person.
Mayoral candidate Antonio French is going to join us on the other side of this commercial break. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After.